This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
The first time Sarah saw a ghost, she was too young to understand that's what she was seeing. At 3 or 4 years old, you don't question who belongs in your house and who doesn't. You don't second guess what stands in front of you. You just accept the world as it is, and for Sarah, the world included a man sitting on the staircase with 2 dogs at his side. She remembers the moment with startling clarity. Their home in Cornwall was centuries old. A 400-year-old mining house with sloping floors and thick stone walls, the kind of place that holds on to the past whether you ask it to or not. 2 staircases wound through the house like tunnels into different eras, and one afternoon she headed down the first staircase on her way to the toilet. Halfway down, she stopped. A man sat quietly on the steps, 2 dogs flanking him like loyal companions. They weren't blurry, translucent, or distorted. The way people describe ghosts, they looked solid, present, real. Sarah, being a small child with no reason to doubt the evidence in front of her, simply asked him to move so she could get by. He didn't answer. He didn't even turn his head. She stepped around him and kept going, unbothered in the way only a child can be. Later, her parents would tell her she talked constantly to imaginary people, especially a man with dogs who lived in the house. But Sarah remembered him clearly enough to know he wasn't imaginary at all. She didn't have a name for what she saw back then. She didn't understand hauntings, sensitivity, or intuition. She just knew she saw things other people didn't. As she grew older, the sensitivity never left. It shifted, faded, strengthened, and resurfaced in unexpected ways. But it never went away. She didn't become obsessed with ghosts. She didn't chase the experiences. They simply happened, weaving themselves into her life whenever they felt like it. And by the time she was 15, she had learned to keep most of it to herself. She didn't want to sound dramatic or unstable. She wasn't trying to attract attention. The experiences were strange, yes, but they were also private. Things she carried quietly, half hoping they'd stop and half afraid of what it meant if they didn't. That winter, she visited her grandmother's partner, John, at his home in Mevagissey. The house sat on a cliff overlooking the water with a kind of gentle charm that made you feel welcome as soon as you stepped inside. It smelled like wood and salt water and old books. Sarah loved it there. It felt warm, lived in, safe. But that night, something began tugging at her attention in a way she couldn't ignore. She couldn't sleep, which wasn't unusual. Insomnia had followed her since childhood. So she stayed up talking with John in the lounge, the house quiet around them. And somewhere in the middle of their conversation, a name began looping in her mind, not whispered, not spoken, just present. Edward. The name grew louder the longer she ignored it. It felt like a pressure behind her eyes, a mental nudge, pushing harder and harder until she finally said it aloud. John's expression shifted instantly. "Why did you say that?" She didn't know. She couldn't explain the urgency or the compulsion. She just felt she had to. Then, almost without thinking, she asked, "Does he have a black dog?" The words came out before she had time to filter them, and John reacted as if someone had dropped ice water down his back. He stood abruptly, staring at her, as if trying to reconcile something impossible. Edward had owned the house before him. He'd loved the place, lived there for decades, and he had a black Labrador who used to scratch at the door frames. John had filled the grooves, sanded them, painted them, but somehow the scratches always reappeared. Even decades later, faint but stubborn, as if the dog's spirit refused to let them fade. Sarah felt a presence in the house, too, warm and gentle, but never frightening. If anything, she felt like she'd walked into someone else's memory. Someone who'd never quite left. That experience stayed with her, but it wasn't the only incident that shaped her understanding of the world around her. Strange things kept happening as she moved through life. Shifts of air that didn't match the room, flickers of movement where no one stood, rooms that felt occupied even in silence. At her father's house, the atmosphere was heavy enough to unsettle everyone who visited. There were foul smells, sudden and sour with no physical cause. Shadows dipped and darted in the hallway when no one moved. All of her friends reported the same thing. The sensation of being watched from the corners of the room, especially when walking down the stairs. Photographs taken inside the house often showed small lights hovering in the frame, perfectly round, perfectly bright. Dust or insects never looked like that. The house seemed aware of them, almost reactive, and not in a comforting way. The energy felt sour, intrusive, and angry. Sarah learned to sense the difference between a peaceful presence and a hostile one. One made the air feel warm, like stepping into sunlight. The other made her skin prickle and her stomach tighten, the same instinctive reaction a person has when they know they shouldn't be alone. And yet she still tried to dismiss it. She still told herself that maybe she was overthinking it. Maybe she was reading too much into things. Maybe she was just sensitive, emotional, imaginative. But every time she tried to talk herself out of what she sensed, another incident would happen that made self-doubt harder to cling to. Those doubts finally broke the day she stepped into the Victorian-era house in Redruth. Her partner of 8 years lived there part-time, and from the moment she crossed the threshold, she felt it. A weight, a presence, a certainty that the house wasn't empty. Not in the normal sense, not in the way people mean when they talk about spirits lingering. This felt deliberate, conscious, aware of her. She didn't announce anything immediately. She wasn't the kind of person who walked into a house and declared it haunted. But she pulled her partner aside and quietly said, "There's something here." Then, after a moment of hesitation, she added, "There are two men. One good. One bad." She had no idea where that came from. It just came. And over the next several months, the house confirmed every instinct she'd had. The activity in the Redruth house didn't build slowly. It didn't creep. It announced itself with confidence, as if whatever lived there wanted to make sure they knew its territory, its temperament, and its boundaries. At night, the chairs downstairs scraped loudly across the floor, slow, dragging movements that sounded unmistakably like someone pulling them from place to place. The sound echoed through the old wooden rooms, traveling up the staircase into their bedroom. When they went downstairs the next morning, the chairs never looked moved. Nothing was out of place. But the sound wasn't a dream. They both heard it regularly. Objects vanished, not misplaced, vanished. Items they used every day disappeared without explanation, sometimes reappearing weeks later in strange locations, sometimes never returning at all. The landlady's infant daughter cried at odd times, her wails sharp and panicked whenever the negative presence entered the room. Then there was the attic. The attic had once been the servants' quarters, a cramped, tight space with low beams and old flooring. Now it stood empty. But at night, it sounded anything but. Heavy bangs reverberated from above them, forceful enough to make them stop what they were doing and look at each other. There was nothing stored up there, nothing that could fall or shift. Yet the sounds kept coming. Her partner, who occasionally sleepwalked, set up a camera one night out of curiosity to see what he did while he slept. When they played the recording back, the footage itself wasn't alarming, but the audio was. Loud, violent banging erupted in their room while he slept soundly in bed. Neither of them heard it in real time. The sound felt disembodied, almost as if whatever caused it had done so outside their shared perception. Something present, but choosing who could hear it. Even that didn't prepare Sarah for what happened next. The landlady, skeptical by nature, didn't believe in hauntings. Not until her friend brought over another visitor, someone who happened to be a medium. The medium didn't know Sarah. She didn't know what Sarah had said privately to her partner. But after walking through the house, she pulled the landlady aside and described the exact same thing Sarah had already sensed. A good man. A violent man. A heavy presence that clung especially to the lower floors. When the landlady told her, Sarah wasn't relieved. She was unsettled. Having her instincts confirmed by someone with no prior information made it harder to chalk everything up to imagination. It made the experiences real in a way she'd never wanted them to be. After that, something changed in the activity. It became more direct, more pointed, more physical. She started seeing flashes of light frequently, bright, quick sparks that appeared right in front of her, not just as corner-of-the-eye illusions. Sometimes they hovered. Sometimes they zipped past. And each time they appeared, a migraine followed, sharp, immediate, blooming behind her temples like a warning. Then came the touches. At first, they were small, subtle, a brush along her arm, a tap on her shoulder, enough to make her look behind her, expecting to see her partner standing there. But no one ever was. The touches grew bolder, a poke to her ribs, a prod to her back, a distinct sensation of fingers pressing lightly against her skin. Not pressure from fabric, not a twitch. Contact. She hated it. Not because it hurt, it didn't, but because it felt like an invasion. The boundary between her body and whatever hovered around her had dissolved, and once across that line, it didn't seem interested in stepping back. The pattern of contact wasn't random either. It happened most frequently when she felt other presences nearby, when the room shifted slightly in atmosphere, when the air thickened, when the hair on her arms rose. The touches felt like reminders. Like acknowledgments, sometimes even like tests, as if the entity wanted to see how she'd react. The sensations followed her everywhere, not just in the Red Ruth house, but in every place she stayed. They didn't fade, they didn't weaken, they traveled with her. Sarah wasn't prone to hysteria. She didn't create drama where none existed. She tried to rationalize these things, to explain them away as stress or imagination or oversensitivity. But the experiences were too persistent, too tactile, too concrete to dismiss entirely, which brought her to her grandmother's house, the place where she found herself the night she finally reached out for advice, not because the presence there was violent, but because she felt watched, tangibly watched, the kind of watching that prickles along the back of the neck and sits heavy on the chest. That night, something unusual caught her attention. A fly? But not a normal one. It moved strangely, flying in slow arches rather than darting. It crawled along the bed frame for half an hour without reacting to her attempts to shoo it away. And then, as she watched it closely, it lifted its wings and took off, not with the jittery motion of an insect, but with something almost graceful. And then it vanished. Not into a corner, not into the air, not behind an object. It simply disappeared. Right as it happened, she felt the atmosphere in the room shift, pressure building, presence thickening, the same way it felt in every place she'd lived where energy gathered around her. A migraine hit instantly, sharp and pounding, the way it always did when something was near. She tried to dismiss it. She told herself she sounded ridiculous, but she couldn't ignore the feeling anymore. Every place she lived carried that same heaviness, that same sense of being watched. Other people noticed it too, friends, partners, family members. They all sensed something when they were around her, something that lingered at the edges, observing. And that was the moment she truly began to wonder if the problem wasn't the houses at all. Maybe the presence wasn't attached to a location. Maybe it was attached to her. Sarah didn't want to believe she was the common thread. It's one thing to live in a haunted house. It's another to realize the haunting may not be tied to walls or floorboards or old attics at all. That it might be tied to you. That wherever you go, something follows, observes, responds. But as she lay in her grandmother's guest room that night, head throbbing, eyes fixed on the corner where nothing visible stood, she couldn't avoid the question anymore. Was it the places that were haunted? Or was she simply the one who noticed what everyone else missed? Or worse, was she the one attracting it? Her grandmother's house had never felt threatening. It was old, certainly, but not heavy. Not the kind of old that presses on your chest. Yet that night, the atmosphere tightened around her like an unwelcome blanket. She felt a presence in the room with her, strong enough to make her skin prickle, strong enough to keep her alert even though she was exhausted. She wasn't imagining it. Her sensitivity had patterns, lights, migraines, touches, shifts in temperature. All of them were present now. And the more she tried to ignore the feeling, the more insistent it became, like a hand hovering just behind her shoulder, waiting for her to turn around. She whispered into the air, half embarrassed, half desperate, asking whatever it was to leave her alone. The moment the words left her mouth, the migraine flared with violent intensity, pulsing at the base of her skull like a direct response. And that's what finally drove her to write her story. Not fear exactly, something quieter. A need to understand. A need to know whether the experiences meant she was being followed by something dark, or whether she was just sensitive to spiritual noise, the way some people are sensitive to electricity before a storm. She'd once visited a clairvoyant who told her that, yes, something was around her, something she didn't invite but couldn't quite shake. But even that hadn't given her clarity. What did something mean? A spirit? A fragment of energy? A guardian? A parasite? A memory? A shadow? A man with dogs who appeared in her early childhood? Or something else entirely? The problem wasn't just the presence, it was the inconsistency of it. The older man in the mining house had never frightened her. Edward in Mévarissé had felt warm, gentle, protective. But the presence in her father's house had been sharp, aggressive, oppressive. And the one in Red Ruth, the bad man, felt volatile and aware of her in a way she didn't like. Different houses, different spirits, different intentions. But one common reaction. They all noticed her. Some seemed to drift toward her gently, others seemed to push, prod, or startle. And one, at least one, seemed to enjoy making itself known. This alone made her wonder whether sensitivity acted like a beacon. Maybe spirits weren't following her deliberately. Maybe they simply saw her the way moths see light. Maybe wherever she went, she was the brightest thing in the room, spiritually speaking. And everything, good, bad, or neutral, was drawn to that. But the alternative frightened her more, because what if one presence had been there all along? What if it wore different faces, different energies, different behaviors, depending on where she lived? What if what felt like a dozen spirits was really one? Testing boundaries, shifting shape, adapting to its surroundings? Not necessarily malicious, but persistent, curious, connected. She replayed the moments from her childhood, searching for patterns. The man with the dogs never spoke. The presence in Red Ruth never touched her partner, only her. The migraines always came when something wanted her attention. The flashes of light appeared directly in her line of sight. The touches happened when the presence was strongest, and every time she tried to dismiss or ignore what she sensed, the activity escalated, not violently, not dramatically, just consistently, like something reminding her it was there. There were nights when she wondered whether the touches meant harm or simply recognition. Spirits, if spirits are what she was dealing with, don't always communicate the way living people do. For some, a poke or a brush might be the only form of interaction they can manage. A knock in the attic might be a greeting. A flash of light might be acknowledgement. A migraine might be the side effect of an energy shift, not an attack. But she couldn't deny the fear that came with it. Fear because she didn't ask for any of this, and fear because she didn't know how to stop it. Fear because she didn't know whether the presence meant well or meant harm. And fear has a way of filling in the blanks with the worst possibilities. The fly incident lingered in her mind more than she wanted it to. It wasn't dramatic or cinematic or obviously supernatural. It was subtle, small. But that's exactly what made it unsettling. Nature behaves in predictable ways. Insects have patterns. Their flight paths follow instinct, not choreography. They don't vanish into thin air in the middle of an arch. That moment felt symbolic, like something trying to show itself through the smallest available vessel. A gesture, a message, or even just a manifestation of energy she couldn't see directly. And the migraine that followed wasn't random. She knew her own body well enough to recognize the difference between a stress headache and a presence-triggered one. This was the latter. Sharp, immediate, purposeful. She lay awake long after. The room had gone quiet again, trying to decide what frightened her more. The idea that she was being followed or the idea that she was simply more open than other people. Neither possibility brought comfort, and she wasn't asking for attention. She wasn't claiming to have all the answers. She wasn't declaring herself psychic or medium or haunted. She wanted clarity, not validation. She wanted guidance, not applause. Because at the core of it, her question was simple. Was this spirit, if it was a spirit, malicious? Or was she living her life with something that meant her no harm, something merely trying to communicate in the only ways it could? And how was she supposed to tell the difference? Being sensitive doesn't come with instructions. Hauntings don't arrive with names or labels or intentions. And not every presence is dramatic enough to reveal itself through voices or apparitions. Some are quiet, some are curious, some simply linger, and some react to the person who notices them. Sarah had lived her entire life noticing things other people didn't, and after years of questioning her sanity, doubting her instincts, and brushing aside her own experiences, she finally understood the truth. Whatever was happening wasn't imaginary, and it wasn't coincidence. It wasn't her mind creating patterns out of stress. It was real. It was consistent. And she wasn't the only one who felt it. She knew she wasn't Barmy. She wasn't making it up. Too many places, too many witnesses, too many moments that defied explanation. She wasn't chasing the paranormal. It was finding her.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro Plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro Plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro Plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro Plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.